Christ, and what is the gospel that he preached?
I didn't study, so I don't know the answer to that question.
Taught the message, like, be tolerant and basically the golden rule, like, do unto others as you would, like, want them to do to you.
Who is Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
I mean, how many ways can you answer that?
It's something that you, like, put pretty much, like, you tell them all the bad things that you have. You tell them, like, the things who would like to happen.
Who was he? You say he was a guy back in the day, but, like, who did he claim to be?
Oh, the Son of God.
Okay, yeah. So God himself become a man, the very Son of God.
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you believe that?
To an extent, yeah.
I'm guessing, he's inside of us all. So
he taught, don't be selfish, and things are a lot bigger than, I don't even know how to explain it.
He's coming again. And he will take away your sin and have a spot for you in heaven. And he's the Savior and Lord of everybody on earth.
Okay. So regardless of whether they believe in him or not?
Yeah.
How did he preach the gospel? He kind of caught me on a bad day here.
Who is Jesus Christ, and what is the message that he taught?
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Unfortunately, I don't know that answer. I just didn't study up as much as I guess I should have.
Who is Jesus Christ, and what is the gospel that he taught? What's the message he taught? Okay, nobody knows. Five people, nobody knows, nobody wants to give an answer?
Well, he taught a lot of things, love thy neighbor, all that, good stuff.
Tell them that you're going to get closer to him and stuff like that, in order for that to happen.
As far as the Son of God, or any God himself, and he taught about redemption through his sacrifice on the cross, and he basically spread love.
I can't really put it into words right now. Basically, all the good things that we've gone through, he's kind of shed light on that, and brought us to, see that.
And pretty much died for the sins, and
his message was to just be a better person.
Anybody?
He was a guy back in the day.
I mean, pretty much I believe, like, Jesus is just, like, love, pretty much. Like,
he, killed him and stuff, the Romans did.
Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, and the message taught was to love God, and this would be to do good.
I guess that's it.
But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justified those who have faith in Jesus. Romans 3:21-26.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just an invitation to belief in facts about Jesus Christ. It is not just what we profess as a church that we invite you to believe. The gospel of Christ is not about moralism. It's not about just doing the best you can do in this life. It is not about social action. It is not about anything other than following and knowing Jesus Christ. And when you speak to people on the street and you talk about what the gospel is, you get a lot of varied answers. Scripture is teaching that covers over 1,500 years of time. It was written by over 40 authors, all 66 books of the Bible, in different languages, from kings down to prophets and preachers of various ages and times, different continents, different languages, all teaching a message that encompasses all of humanity, and you and me included, our entire life. It covers it all, for sure. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is not all of those things as we come to know them in our life. We don't come to the faith, in other words, going, all right, now that I understand everything that the Bible is teaching, what does it have to do with me? Sometimes it begins with seeing where you fit into that picture. Where do you fit in, listener, watcher, reader of this message in the gospel picture? You may be the guy in church on Sunday who thinks he's way up in a balcony, nobody sees him, the gospel has absolutely nothing to do with him whatsoever in his life. That may be you, because you've never understood how it relates to you. Well, that's what we're talking about here today. The whole of the gospel, the what we call meta-narrative of Scripture, telling where we've come from, where we're going, all of it, is the redemption of all of humanity. Even the redemption of the physical universe is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is huge. It is universe shaping. God is not in just the details. He is over all of the details. The gospel is huge. But what does that apply? How does that apply to you and to me? That's kind of what we want to talk about in this video today, because there are so many things that the gospel encompasses. The teachings of Scripture, the greatest men in the world can spend 80 years studying the Bible, and never, they will tell you, I've never tapped such resources. This verse I read for the 8,000th time today has exploded into new truth and new joy and new wisdom to me. So in this message, the gospel is not just a summons into court. It is not just a teaching about do the best that you can. The message of Christ, as it meets us in our daily lives today, is as applicable today as it was when he preached, but it is about the forgiveness of sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he proclaimed 2,000 years ago, was that sinners who will repent and trust in him can have their sin forgiven. The good news of Jesus Christ is that, really, the bad news first, you cannot save yourself. You cannot redeem yourself. You cannot work or earn or deserve the favor of God. And every religious system in the world, apart from that which Christians teach, is go and do, and maybe in the end, you'll be good enough to earn the merit or the favor of God. Christ alone, and that message we intend to reverberate with you today, is that you cannot do well enough. And that's bad news if you continue to want to try to do good enough. But it is good news, that's what gospel means, to those who understand it, to those who match with the justice and holiness of God, his demand on us and our falling short, with the mercy and graciousness of God that he showed on the cross. And just like me, most of you watching this, if you're in the United States, I don't know where you are, but many people today, not just in the U.S., but again, it could be you anywhere in the world, have heard so much of the message of the gospel, but not how it applies to you and me, that it has just become another truth among many, so-called. That the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't really apply to you and me. But I want to share with you here why it does apply to you. Again, the meta-narrative, the whole teaching of Scripture, is that mankind has fallen into sin, that Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned and fell in the Garden of Eden. The first people ever made blew it. God knew it, planned for their redemption, and enacted and went to work in humanity. We do not have a God who is distant and unconcerned, but makes a way for salvation in humanity. That full way was made manifest in times and places throughout history, to the Jews, even to the Gentiles in times past, and it came to its full light and measure when Jesus walked among us and said, I am the light of the world. He who has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. He went and proclaimed repentance, and there's a reason for it. the nation of Israel stands as a type for all humanity. Those who labor. The Jewish people were some of the most fastidious in Jesus' day, the most fastidious, legalistic, pursuing religious people in the world. They sought to add to the commandments of God their own commandments that helped them to fulfill the commandments. They had over 600 laws that they exhaustively came up with rules upon rules upon rules about how one might honor God as best he can in the hopes of meriting grace, in the hopes of being a righteous person in and of themselves. They were the religious people. And Jesus confronted them. Jesus, the one they're supposed to be receiving and listening to, said, that's not enough. It doesn't help you. You must be born again. He told a man named Nicodemus, the leader in Israel, as Jesus called him, you are the teacher of Israel, the teacher. You're a preeminent leader. And he did not understand the regeneration and rebirth that Christ came to teach. Now, the Jews are a type for all of us. That they had a religious system, and you watching this probably do as well. You might say to yourself, well, I do the best that I can according to what I know, and I'm hoping that God, who is merciful, who is loving, will have mercy upon me. Well, that may be so, but it will not be because of your own religious endeavors. And that's where, again, the bad news comes in, and hopefully my prayer is, our prayer in this video, is in part that the good news begins to make sense, therefore. Until the bad news makes sense, the good news just ain't that good. So here's the bad news. Following this line of question, I want to see if you, watcher, are prepared for the kingdom of heaven. According to Scripture, it has been appointed, the book of Hebrews says, for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. So in all the meta-narrative of the Bible, all the things that I could talk about today, every teaching, all the amazing Old Testament, New Testament, let me reduce it down to you and say what, how you fit in and therefore what it means to you, okay? The Bible says you're going to die, you're going to face God on a day of judgment. There is no reincarnation, there is no second chances, there's not this big wheel, you know, you watch The Lion King, the circle of life thing. No, it's not happening. You're going to die once, you're going to stand before God, and give account of your life, the deeds done in the flesh. You're going to give account, and nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden at all from His sight. How are you going to do on that day? Okay, leaving everything else aside for a moment, how are you going to do on that day when you stand before God? Let me fast forward and take you to that day and hold you to God's standard. Here comes the bad news, so the good news can make sense. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Before God, a good person? Most people say yes. How many lies do you think that you've told in your life? Let's look at God's standard, the Ten Commandments, for a moment. How many lies do you think you've told? Probably you're saying incalculable, too many to count, thousands, something like that. That would make you a liar. Have you ever stolen anything in your life? Taken something that didn't belong to you. You knew it, you took it. It's called thief. You are a thief. It's called stealing. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Used His name in a way that would not honor Him? It's called blasphemy. When you use it like a cuss word, defaming the very name of God, which is to be held as holy and honorable. It's called blasphemy. We're looking at the Ten Commandments. There's one on adultery. God told the nation of Israel after He redeemed them from Egypt, you shall not commit adultery. It's the seventh of the Ten Commandments. Jesus comes along later on and even increases the level of accountability of the law by showing its internal nature and says, you've heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. I say, if you even look with lust, you have already committed adultery in your heart. It's true whether you're married, it's true whether you're single. Lust is lust, and it is violation of God's law. God is holy, and He is righteous, and He's given His law because the message of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, wherever you find it, is a message that you cannot save yourself. However, God has mercy on sinners who trust in Him. A lot of people missed that in Jesus' day, but the message was just the same. To get to the end of oneself is good news, and the law helps us do that. So if you've broken the law of God, You yourself are accountable to God. He wrote His law on your heart. Your conscience bears witness. People know right from wrong. The law is written on the heart. The conscience bears witness. Romans chapter 2 teaches us that. So, if you stood before God and He held you accountable, you're going to be guilty on the day of judgment. You have broken the law of God. That's called sin. It takes form in many ways. The simplest definition is violation of God's moral law. And a good judge has a day in court for you. Now, like I began by saying in this video a little bit ago, it's not just a summons into court, but how do I fit to you, the person listening here or viewing here, into this grand scheme of the gospel? Well, this is where you fit in. You will face God on that day. How are you going to do? God sees you, if you've broken His law, as a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart. The bad news is, you're not a good person. If you think you are, it's because you've set up your own standard. You're living in a dream world. That God does not exist, and He does not judge by our standard, by no human standard, but by His own alone. And that is His prerogative, as He is God. So you're going to do, like me, without Christ, like anyone, very bad on the day of judgment when a good God exposes your sin for what it is. It's bad news. It's been bad news. For people who think they're pretty good and they're doing okay, it will always be bad news. However, Christ came to teach a message of forgiveness and of grace that I want to make sense of with you. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is for sinners who will hear the message that they can have their sin forgiven. They can be forgiven. Take you to a human courtroom anywhere on earth, and I want you to imagine a guilty criminal is standing before a judge. And the judge says to him, you have a $500 million fine or you're going to prison, and the guy can't pay the fine. As they're taking him off to prison, somebody else steps into the courtroom and pays the fine for him in full. The judge can receive the payment and tell the criminal, you're free to go because this man just paid your fine. That criminal would feel very grateful toward the man who paid his fine. The reason you have a New Testament, the reason I'm making this video for you today, is because I knew, as well as the writers of the Scripture, that they had a day of judgment to come. That if God held them accountable, they would be condemned. They would be crushed on that day. But instead of doing that, God Himself sent His Son, as the Scripture we read at the outset of this presentation, to demonstrate His righteousness in the world. He would not just pass over sin and look away, but sent His Son to be a substitute, to die in the place of sinners, so that if they would come to the end of themselves, stop trying to pretend like they even think they're a good person next to the law of God, to repent, which means to acknowledge their sin and turn from it and seek after Jesus Christ, then they can have their sin forgiven and on the day of judgment go free because their fine has been paid by someone else, not because they're a good person. That's where you and I can begin to understand where we might fit in to this universal plan of, for God's glory, the redemption of an untold number of souls. That's where we fit in. And wherever this video finds you in your life, the gospel applies to you that if you will repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you will have your sin forgiven. Calling on the name of the Lord. Not just saying, I believe that Jesus rose again from the dead. I believe that He's the Son of God. Demons believe that. Demons understand that. They do not have saving faith. Rather, putting one's trust in Christ alone for righteousness, that is the issue, and that is the gospel. That's what Christ came to teach, that those who trusted in Him would have the light of life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in Me will not come into judgment, but has already passed from death to life. Forgiveness is given to the sinner because Jesus takes the sinner's sin and He gives the sinner His own righteousness. It is a gift, and it changes everything. So it's not just a call to believe certain facts, to have certain things, believe this and make a decision for Jesus. It's not about just walking an aisle and saying prayers and responding to the message preached. It's not just about decisions. It begins when you, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, recognize your sin, turning, calling on Jesus Christ to forgive you and would follow Him. It changes everything. It creates motivation to love and seek after holiness. It causes us to hate our sin more and more and more, and we will sin all the way through the day we die, but we will grow to hate and not be the same person. Like, if I, you could stay right there. If I was a Christian and just converted, I begin to walk toward righteousness. I'm moving in the direction of perfection, one day being in heaven with God. I'm going to stop every now and then in my sin, and yeah, I'm going to have troubles, I'm going to have difficulties, but I'm going to be able to look back and say, you know what? I'm nowhere near who I was then, and I'm just going to keep on moving in that direction. That's what the gospel is. It's about following and being a disciple, not just someone who assents to certain facts about Jesus, but someone who truly repents and is born again. John chapter 3, men must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that happens by a gift of sovereign grace. On this website, you'll find links to dozens of other sermons, dozens of other messages, things that will bless and equip and strengthen you, convict you, whatever is required of God in your life. And I want to ask you to give these things some sober thought, to go to the Scriptures. Again, there's so many things we could talk about, but where you and I fit in this short gospel presentation is to talk about sin, because that's your problem, and to talk about the offer of forgiveness that Jesus made. Repent, sinner. Turn and trust in me, he said, and I will give you forgiveness. I'll give you life. And that life, man, it'll be evident to the people around you. You will see it. Those closest to you will see it, to the glory of God. My invitation is to you, give these things some thought. Go to the Scripture. Check out the Gospel of John. Go to some of the websites linked in the recommended listening list. Give this stuff some sober thought. Nobody knows whether they've got tomorrow or not, but it is not about making a decision right now. I'm asking you to think about these things, and my prayer is that God would have mercy on you. You're welcome to contact us here anytime. There's email contact. You can send questions, comments. I am open and welcome that fully. So thank you for your time and attention to this message. I pray the Lord bless you for your time spent watching or listening or reading it. So please get in touch with us if you like. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you.